Hey, friendo, Steve here.
Ed Larson.
Hi, I'm Troy McClure. You may remember me from
it
such
does
wrestling
seem low.
Podcasts as Sit Up SmackDown and
we
TNA No Way. I don't know. I had nothing. I always forget that bit.
We rehearsed this for 3 hours.
I'm sorry. Sorry, goddamn.
This was the fast lane of intros.
It was.
Welcome to Going In Raw. It's the wrestling podcast. And it's the
wrestling podcast. It's the only one left now. That's it. It's done.
Everyone else stopped doing it after Fastlane and gave up.
It took us an extra day to process that shit. God damn it. I was like, I can't do it. Okay, this is my thing about Fastlane. Like, the viewing experience for me for Fastlane was this. I had family come over during the pay-per-view, and instead of subject them, thank God, to the crap that was Fastlane and try to explain to them why I'm watching it, we watched the crappy Oscars instead, which, you know, my family likes movies. They don't like wrestling, so that just made more sense. It was still crappy, but we hate watched. The thing about
my sort of experience was I had, like, I brought a kilo bag of M&Ms. Now, I'm allergic to chocolate. I can eat, like, a small amount, and that's sort of it. And I buy a kilo bag, and that will last me, like, a year, because it's, like, it was ridiculously cheap. It was, like £5 for a kilo of M&Ms.
That's more
M&Ms than I could need for a year.
For our American audience, a kilo is 3 tons. So that's how much.
That's quite
how
a lot.
Many
but, like, I because I'm allergic to it, I kind of, there were points where I was just sitting there going, I could just kill myself with this. Like, that was the level I was at. Like, if I just wanted to, like, it's there. Like, it's just, it's the thing,
I can't imagine the pickle you're in when you're sitting there watching Fastlane. Bag of M&Ms, you look at that.
Yeah.
Fastlane.
Yeah, Fastlane.
Bag of M&Ms.
I was following along on Twitter, and then it dawned on me, oh my God, I have to watch this now. Like, there's no worse thing than understanding, oh my God, now after all this crap that I've just read about it, I have to watch it for our podcast. And so that got me thinking, Steve, how can I get out of this? How can I go ahead and cheat? And just so I decided, oh, you know what, how about this? Let's just all come up with our favorite. And because I was like, you know, nobody needs a recap of Fastlane. Nobody needs that. And so I was like, you know what? What if we just cover the highlights and the lowlights, which are much more, you know, just pick out, everybody pick out a highlight or two. Everybody pick out a lowlight or two.
Yeah.
And then, and we'll talk about that. And we'll probably cover all the bases of the shit that people want us to talk about.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I figured that was probably a good idea. So.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. For you want to go, like, take turns?
Dan, you kick it off. You've got the
there you go.
Oh, this is what I was going to ask you, Dan.
What?
The Dan notes that we have come so to rely on, are they handwritten, like, maniacally, or are they typed on, like, some sort of device? How are the Dan? We need a picture of the Dan notes.
They are a .txt file I leave on my desktop. That's what they are. I have, like, the worst handwriting in the world. If I wrote them down, like, a doctor would go, I have no idea what this says.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's the level of, like, I can barely write because I had English education. So they don't teach writing at all. It's just not a thing. It's not necessary. They teach T and pinky finger maneuvering and that sort of it. So it's all just a TXT file.
It's funny you say that because not to get off on too much of a tangent, but my handwriting skills, unbeknownst to me until very recently.
Oh, they suck now, don't they?
Oh, my God, because I just type everything.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
They're just shit. And I was getting on my stepkids for, like, their crap. I was like, Devin, nobody's going to be able to your teacher's not going to be able to read this. And then I'm like, here, I'll show you how to do it. And I start writing, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't read this. It looks like crap.
It's like you're writing with your left hand for the first time.
It is. It's like I can give a freaking pencil to my newborn. She can write better than me.
Dude, when I was getting the house, I had to write this thing out. About 3 words into it, I was like, I think I forgot how to write.
Yeah, I think that's the same thing when we got this house, because I was like a year ago. I was like, okay, I don't know how to do this.
Have any of
anymore.
You actually tried to do a small amount of mathematics recently? Because you've forgotten that as well, I guarantee it. I'm so glad they invented smartphones, because when you teach her, like when I was growing up, teacher was always like, oh, you know, you'll never have a calculator in your pocket at all times. And now I'm like, ha, wrong. I do. I didn't need to learn any of that.
I had to relearn mathematics about, I don't know, four or five years ago, because of the stepkids. Like, They're going through math with them. I'm like, okay. I had to sort of stop at the quadratic equation or the quadratic formula, whatever it's called, because I was like, okay, you're on your own, dude. I have no idea. Good luck.
Did you get to foil yet?
Which one's foil?
It's when you have three in parentheses. You have like three times.
I hear the viewers just completely tuning out at this point. They're just clicking off.
No, they okay, go. Let's get at least this let's is just better get than into Fastlane.
Yeah, this true. Is probably better. Exactly. The highlight for me of Fastlane was doing foil for my kids' homework. I'd rather do
we
that.
Just make
shit.
This into an algebra podcast.
Let's do that.
Exactly, Dan. What was one of your highlights from Fastlane?
Okay, so I'm a big fan of like anti-humor, and King throughout this entire thing was on point because he kept doing jokes. He would do a joke, and then there would be a 10-second no commentary from anyone, and then Cole would be like, "Oh, that's a DDT," or just whatever. And it was I couldn't stop pissing myself laughing. He had some of the stuff he said was when Big Show was born, his mother had to have a C, D, E, and F section.
Oh, God.
Silence. Just silence. And because it was the worst crowd ever in the history of anything, they were silent. It was just like you could hear a pin drop. That was the thing.
I'm not sure if that would be a highlight or a low light for me, but under low lights, because I was going strictly to the letter of what we're talking about, the crowd was
awful.
One of my biggest low lights. It's just
I have that too.
It wasn't Nashville. It was Memphis. It was Memphis.
It was Memphis, yeah.
Memphis, which has a storied wrestling history.
Yep.
And maybe that's why they suck, because they're used to Harley Race versus Jerry Lawler in 1975 or whatever. But man
wrestling bear. That's what they're used to. They do that in Memphis.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, they would have popped for Brock then. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. One of my highlights would have been I have three written down. But my main actual highlight is probably Cesaro Kid winning the winning over the Usos, because everybody knows for a fact that I can't stand the Usos. Yeah. I hate their dumb dance. I hate their stupid chant.
It's to intimidate people.
It's
though.
Not
well,
intimidating,
not
and it
chant,
did not intimidate the King of Swing and Natalia's brother / husband. I'm still not sure what they are.
Husband, they're. I think believe they're
like,
married.
I think they're brother husband. They can do that in Canada.
Yeah, I don't think so. Maybe, don't
Canada is the new South.
I don't know what happened to Stu Hart's dungeon. So.
I quite like Canada's the new South. Your map might just be upside down, actually.
And of course, Larson. What are one of your highlights?
Well, you took Cesaro Kid, so I'm going to say Bray Wyatt's promo, even though it took forever to get going.
That's just the nature of Bray Wyatt's promo.
I know. But the promo, but the theatrics of it all, the promo itself was good.
I
read today on the interwebs that and you and I talked about this yesterday, that it sounds like they're going to hold off on even bringing the Undertaker out till WrestleMania.
No, God, I'm not sure. Like I like that they have the confidence in Bray Wyatt to say, leading up to WrestleMania, you're going to be doing a promo against just this idea.
I know.
We're going to roll out various. It's going to be like you're
it's
gonna,
like acting against a green screen.
No,
pretty much.
He's going to be doing a promo all week long from the Undertaker Museum, because they just keep on wheeling out props from the Undertaker's career, and then he has to talk to them.
Yeah, just coughing on fire. Can we dress up as a druid? Have some druids everywhere.
Yeah, he's gonna
bring the urn in somehow.
He's gonna go to Paul Bear's grave and start talking to that.
Yeah, there's gotta be the urn.
The urn, of course. The urn. Yeah, absolutely.
He can knock over one of his motorcycles.
Yeah, Kane. He's gonna
American
talk to
badass
Kane.
Days.
He's gonna be like, "I talk to your brother. You want to talk to my brother, Bo Dallas?"
He goes, "Corporate Kane."
Imagine if Corporate Undertaker is the one that turns up at WrestleMania.
That'd be great.
Oh, man, that'd be great. You know, I'm going to bring this up right now because we're talking about The Undertaker. But in our book of the match later on, we get to see The Undertaker in his American badass persona.
Big Evil.
And it makes me wonder, why did he age so quickly and so dramatically, and people like Kane haven't?
Kane
doesn't look near as good as he did when he was fake Diesel. Kane doesn't look near as good as he did when he was fake Diesel.
Right, but hold on a second. Compare Undertaker.
No, I I'm in agreement with,
he
with
looks
your overall point.
70 now. He looks does. 70. He looks so old. And Kane, I know. I mean, yeah, he looks. He looks. I mean, he's fit. He looks. Kane has never really, in my opinion, changed. Like when he first took off his mask, he hasn't changed since then.
He's getting a little bit of the Ric Flair problem around the armpits and the boob area. They're starting to get a little droopy.
They're starting to get a little bit droopy. But he's like he's like the Undertaker's age, right?
I don't know.
He's 907 now.
he's aged very well, then.
He has aged very well. Another highlight for me was Paige's wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be on there.
Because
I didn't see that match.
Yeah,
I'll say this. Before that match like started, I accidentally knocked over my drink, and I went to get some tea. Like, it was only a tiny little spillage, just a little bit of drink. It was just on the side. I went to get some tea towels. I noticed the sink was dirty and started cleaning the sink because it was preferable to watching David's match.
I noticed it was dirty.
it was one of those things of like... I was genuinely procrastinating from watching this pay-per-view at that point. Yeah.
Smart move on your part.
Like, I literally have no notes for that match. It's match four, Divas, and then there's a blank, and then it's match five. Like, I didn't even bother.
It's ridiculous. Like, it's just ridiculous. It's like the whole idea of a pay-per-view. You know, well, again, the book of the match is coming up, and I'm like, wow, this was the pay-per-view before a big WrestleMania. And they had a lot of shit going on that was actually, you had stuff that seemed to be resolved. Mm-hmm. And in this, and Fastlane was obviously just, it was just an episode of Raw. And not even a very good one at that.
No.
Did you watch Raw? The Divas match at Raw last
was
night.
It like 45 seconds or something like that?
It was, the Divas match. They had, like, Paige come out, and then they had, like, an advert, and then they had, like, a 5 or 10 minute Who Sting Is sort of montage thing, and then Nikki Bella came out, and then it was, I think it was a 17-second match before a one-move pin, and it ended.
Yeah.
And the hashtag, Give Divas a Chance, trended number one worldwide.
Oh, man, because if you watch them on NXT, that was my favorite match.
Oh, hands down.
Hands down at that last NXT, whatever it was called.
Event? The Rival?
Whatever R word they use where they separate the R and turn the other thing into a word.
It was Takeover Rival.
Rival.
Yeah,
Rival.
Yeah,
Rival.
And then
there's Rival. I don't know. Let's see. There's no other highlight. Let's talk about some of the lowlights.
Oh, I have one highlight.
You have another highlight?
I have another one left, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry.
We've done our homework. We got highlights. I actually enjoyed Big Show's Superman punch. His jumping knockout punch, because it looked like the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. But it looked like he'd killed Ziggler. I mean, because Ziggler sold it really well. But that was a moment where I was like, that's something I've not seen the Big Show do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was there going, hey, you did a thing. Like, well done. Like, for me, like, the Big Show is just sort of like a Metapod. You know when you're playing Pokemon and he comes up against a Metapod and you're like, well, you have no moves. You just sit there and soak up damage. Like, that's all you do. Like, because Kane is a Zubat. We all know Kane is a Zubat. And so, like, it was just that he's just sort of damage shots. But him doing a different move, that was quite good. I'd like that. That's literally how deep I had to dig to get a highlight of this thing.
I know. I forgot that, there is one highlight, and he's always the highlight for me, and that's Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
I love Seth Rollins, especially on Raw. I don't know if you guys watched Raw last night, but he was great on Raw last night. They're doing this thing with him and Randy Orton. And I don't know. I love that Rollins is like the only guy I can think of on the roster who has dimension to his character.
Yeah.
Nobody I can think of right now.
Everybody else
of my head.
Is paper thin.
Everybody else is playing, has like a one-dimensional goal in mind type thing. Well, except for the primetime players. They're very multidimensional. But everybody else has...
Goldust has a bit of layer to
it. You're right. Good. That's a good point. Goldust and Stardust, I think both of them have dimensions. I think especially Stardust because he's got this identity crisis thing going on. And even Goldust, who's like... in there, especially when they bring in Dusty, you're absolutely right. That is another example of this. And then there's Seth Rollins, who he goes through like... emotional peaks and valleys, like sort of mental peaks and valleys, like, you know, Randy Orton comes back, he does his thing, and then on Raw last night there was, you know, there's this great head games going on, and Rollins really he knows how to project that. He knows how to project complex emotional things going on, and it's the only thing that I don't know, it's just he's fantastic to me every single time out.
And he was the opening match with Ziggler.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the
opening match. What, combined time and ring was for them was about 2 minutes for the whole match?
Yeah, I mean, because Seth got tagged in like right near the end, and like the crowd didn't react. I was like, Seth! And the crowd were like, no, we're done.
It's already done. It's already done for us. We're good.
They were, like, I genuinely thought, like, a bus that was supposed to go to some sort of, like, Christian gathering went to the wrong place. There's a whole bunch of wrestling fans somewhere singing Hare Krishna or stuff. I genuinely don't know, but there's the Kumbaya, you know.
Yeah, they're waiting for Joel Osteen to come.
Sting masks on, you know.
Oh, that was one thing. That was one thing I thought was kind of a highlight for me. There was a kid in the front row wearing a
gold dust. Yeah, they had the Sting mask on.
There was another kid wearing a gold dust mask during dust match.
Yeah, just stared blankly at the camera.
The blank stare always just... Because that was always the great thing about WCW was the Sting mask, and there was just a million of them in the crowd, so it was like a million judging Stings just sitting on their hands watching WCW.
Yeah.
The only other highlight I could come up with is it looks like Sting has lost a little bit of weight since he premiered at Survivor Series. He's looking a little trimmer.
Is he? I don't
know. Yeah.
Around the belly, the scorpion tail seemed to be a little bit bigger, I thought.
You thought so? No, I thought he looked a bit more svelte.
I hadn't really noticed it in comparison to previous, so maybe previous it was a bit bigger, but when you do sort of a dude with a fat belly, when I turn a certain way and I get in the mirror, I'm like, oh, that really emphasizes that I'm pregnant. That's great. And that's always like when he sort of twisted to turn.
He certainly does not have washboard abs, but.
Okay. All right.
I'm just saying, it looks like he's hitting the gym a little bit.
That's good. I mean, that's good because otherwise, like, do you think that he's going to wrestle in his shirt? Because that's always an old man thing.
Yeah.
I want him in his shirt, coat, everything.
Yeah.
You want him to be like in WWE 2K15 or 14, where he has
wrestles in his entrance attire. Yes.
And he gets in the ring and his jacket just glitches through the ropes.
Yep.
That would be great. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, it would be.
How could you not want that? He didn't get a pop though when he came out. It was sort of like if you were
Nothing got a pop.
No,
although
people
were chanting for Aaron Rowan to get
Cena got a pop and Rowan got a pop, which is the weirdest two people.
Yeah,
like to
anyone. It is Memphis, so I think they would identify with Rowan a little bit.
Daniel Bryan got me a pop as well.
Yeah,
I should have a popometer and just measure the volume and then work out the decibels of it.
That's a good idea. You should do that.
Yeah, unless they have really loud music, in which case I'd actually genuinely go to all this stuff. It doesn't. It's a bad idea. I didn't think it through. I'm sorry. Oh, man.
Now can we talk about lowlights?
Yes, we can.
All right, who wants to go first? Dan, you
Roman
go first.
Roman Reigns kicking out of the knee.
Yeah.
The knee that killed Triple H and Batista and Randy Orton in one night. The same night, while Bryan was injured, Reigns just kicked out of it.
Yeah.
Everything about that match. Everything about Roman Reigns. Everything. All of it. That's my low light.
Why does he bleed so easily? Every match he bleeds. It's like he has low platelets or something. His blood doesn't coagulate well, so you tap him and he just blood.
It is like the Flair of old. Like soon as he hits the ring, like Flair in
WCW.
You
breathe on him and he bleeds.
As soon as he hits the ring, like he gets cut open, he just starts bleeding. Yep. It's like my dad, because my dad's a postman, so his hand, and he's like 62. His hands are like so dry and cracked, like he always has Band-Aids. He can't get an iPhone. And like we were shooting in basketball in my backyard the other day. And he shoots the ball once and he's like, oh man, and he looks and his finger's just bleeding. He's like, do they have a Band-Aid? I'm like, yeah, but you need like new hands, man.
It's because of Roman's hair. Because like, if he gently moves his head, the hair at the very end has to like go around ridiculously fast to keep up the force, and it just whips him in the face. He's just whipping himself in the face. Yeah.
Right under his dome.
It's part of the whole Jesus thing he's got going on.
Yeah, it's a big fat drag, and then Raw last night was even bigger drag when Daniel Bryan, like, you know, I like Bryan's such a good company guy though, because he does his damnedest to do what the company wants him to do, and so he goes out, and I mean I think the thing about that is that Daniel Bryan is totally secure with the fact that he has the people in the palm of his hands, and so he goes out there and he puts over Roman the best he can, says, hey, you know, I respect you and good job and everything.
Yeah, but he didn't bring up the fact that he actually pinned him, which was really annoying. Because in that match, when they got like they were both down, Daniel Bryan was laying on top of Roman and his shoulders were down. It was a 1-2-3 pin.
Yeah.
For the 10 count, so definitely was a pin there. And I was there going, just notice that. No, that's coming up. That blatantly has to come up. And it didn't.
No, usually when they do spots like that and it's very deliberate, then yeah, that's definitely like he'd come out and say, I did pin you. But no, I guess they were like, okay, go out there and then we'll set you up. I hope we get Bryan versus Ziggler, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think Ziggler's probably going to be in a tag team with the Ryback, probably against the Authority.
Well, were they setting up an Intercontinental title thing last night with Barrett, Ziggler, Ambrose, and I think R-Truth? They were doing a four-way
ladder. Oh, that might match. I must have missed that. It wouldn't surprise me because I don't even remember. I remember like bits and pieces. What was I doing last night? I don't even know what I was doing last night, but I caught a lot of
recovering. You're recovering.
I think I missed. You know what? I started watching Raw. I was gonna not watch it and just get the recap, but then I got on my phone and I saw the primetime players pinned the Ascension, and I was like,
"Hell yeah!
Oh, I gotta watch that." So I turned awesome. It on. I rewound it just to that, so I missed the entire opening thing with Orton and all that. And then I just turned on the primetime players and pinned the Ascension. I was very happy about that.
That's great.
I love the primetime players are great. I know there's too many lowlights to talk about. I just put down the crowd and Reigns. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, I hope that they don't put Daniel Bryan in there with Sheamus, which is what I think they're going to do.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
That's a fucking bummer.
Really? Oh, I don't like Sheamus. Sheamus is so bland.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
He's
awful. I've only seen like little bits of him, but I've never got anything apart from he's Irish. That's it.
Yeah,
That's his personality isn't even one dimensional. It's sort of like he's half dimensional. He's a scientific marvel,
yeah,
but unfortunately, a very dull scientific marvel.
Yeah, he is just. I mean, he's like Irish ethnicity. Like that's it. Like he's just he's just Irish.
That's it.
Like,
Irish.
And he's Irish,
and
like,
Irish people love fighting, don't they? So there we go.
He's not even cool.
Character.
Like Fit Finley, his thing was he literally had a shamrock on his belly. And
he carried a shillelagh too.
But he was rad. Finley was fucking dope. Love that guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, he even has red hair. I don't know. It's just all bad. It's fucking boring. And last night when they were showing his return package, I was like, he's not impressive at all.
Ziggler versus Bryan would be a good match.
It would be great.
That would be amazing.
Oh my god, that would be
overshadow everything.
It would. Yeah. It would completely overshadow everything.
That's why I think they won't do it.
And then I did like, I'm sorry, the other highlight was Rusev and see, because Rusev beat Cena.
Yeah. Yes.
I like that. But Lars, let me ask you this. Do you still believe Rusev goes over Cena at WrestleMania?
No.
After that finish, I'm pessimistic about that.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that as well. So, and I believe that is the title going to be on the line at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
See, I like that. I like that they're
bringing in the America versus Russia thing for the rematch, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because the first one really didn't focus.
Yeah. You know, Cena did his. You know, you can say what you want about me, but don't talk bad about the United States. And as a resident and citizen of the United States, I just groaned. I was like, oh, no, don't. Yeah. You don't speak for me, dude. Don't
As
speak
someone
for
who
me.
Said many bad things about both countries, and they're going, shut up, both of you. My turn to speak. I'd cut an amazing promo against the whole concept of the match, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
That's an idea. Like, have you seen your education system? Let me get out the graphs.
Dan, I've been to parent-teacher conferences. I know it firsthand. It is horrifying. It is absolutely horrifying. I know what we're doing over here, damn it. exactly. So anyways, I do like that they're anytime that a title starts to mean something, and I think Rusev has brought legitimacy.
The
US title. I think Cena I like that, cuz Cena started out as the US champion. Like that was his first title. And hopefully he'll end as the U.S. champion and bring some prestige back to that, and then go on and do his movies or whatever he wants to do.
See, I'm not sure if it is. I don't feel it really is about the U.S. championship. For me, it is just about Rusev is unbeatable. That's sort of what I get from it. Like, because until you mentioned it, I completely forgot he was champion.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that is a good point. They're not making it about the belt. And
see,
he hasn't said, you can't take this from me. So that's a good point.
Yeah, what would have made it, like, because he's ridiculously strong and unbeatable, if you really wanted to push someone, say, Roman Reigns, he would have been a good person to try and fight Rusev at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that would
have
made sense.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely
Agreed.
Right.
Yeah. This whole thing's just yeah.
I know. Yeah, that would have been good. Like, there's too. This one of those papers. There's too many, way too many instances of that would have been good.
Yeah.
When you have to say that like more than 10 times, like more than you say that more times than there were matches, you have a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
What happened? I thought the rule, right? So this is. I don't know if they changed it at some point, but when someone was kind of knocked out, like when Rusev holds someone and they pass out, they go, "Oh, ring the bell." But in the match in the book of the match we're watching, they sort of hold the guy's arm up and then let it drop, and they do that three times. They don't do that with Rusev.
No, they don't really do that anymore, I don't think.
Why?
Or as much as they used to. I don't know.
It's inconsistent because I have seen them do it lately, and I have seen them not do it lately.
Okay.
So I don't know. Like they didn't do it with
it's referee's choice.
Yeah, yeah. It, exactly. It's subjective. Yeah, it's the rules of wrestling. So yeah, whatever the ref likes to do.
Whatever the ref wants to do, like not count to three for the Stardust Goldust ending.
Yeah, maybe,
that was fun.
Maybe, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That was weird. That was just a botch.
Because after it happened, I thought that was going to be something that they were going to bring up. That it was that Cody would. Come
they started
and say,
talking
well,
about it. I mean, they
you barely beat me. The kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know?
They started talking about it. And then like I just like that they have a mic. On camera when Cody Rhodes, when Stardust comes out, because you get to hear all those, woo,
yeah.
Like he does his little, oh, noises. I love him. Man, I love him.
Cody's great.
He is great.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. So that was Fastlane. We're moving on to WrestleMania. We will be in attendance. Dan, you should fly out.
I was planning it. It was like something I was genuinely going to do. And then I kind of was like, actually, you know, no, let's just leave it for this year. I'm kind of busy. And I'm really glad that I didn't bother to go right now. Yeah. It's because right. So this is going to be my third WrestleMania. My first one was the first matches I ever saw, that actually got me into it. So I had like the match that saw me on that was CM Punk versus Undertaker.
Yeah.
So that was like for me that was like the big thing. I was like, wow, that was actually pretty cool. And I saw The Rock and stuff. And I was like, hey, that's kind of a cool thing. The second one, I had a year's worth of build up of Daniel Bryan versus fucking everything.
Mm-hmm,
and it was a year of Daniel Bryan being smashed down and fighting back and smashed down and fighting back, and then he got to WrestleMania and then it was his victory. And this year we've got Roman Reigns, who's had like two pay-per-view single matches, one of which he didn't win or something. Yeah. And that's it. So I had sort of the first one, which was a thing. The second one had loads of build-up, and this one's just sort of another pay-per-view. Like, I'm not that excited for any of it.
This is going to be Fastlane Part 2.
Pretty much. I mean, half the card on WrestleMania is going to be rematches from Fastlane.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
So, just in a bigger stadium.
That's 5 hours long.
Pay $200 for that ticket.
Please don't be 5 hours long.
So, you know, it's not too late, Steve. We can still sell our tickets.
We're going to talk about that, actually. We're going to talk about that. So let's move on with that. Let's move on with... We're gonna sell our WrestleMania tickets. You guys want Steve and Lars from WrestleMania tickets? We can mark them up because they're ours.
Sign them.
They're officially going in Raw WrestleMania tickets. We're gonna mark the shit out of those up.
And you can win them now. Just bet the most money, and there you go.
Exactly. Dan, send us your digital signature so it's worth like twice as much as what we put in. All right, time for book of the match, Larson.
No, NXT, man.
Oh, no, we're gonna do NXT last.
Oh, we're doing that last.
Okay. We're gonna go off on a big note. Book of the match.
Yeah.
highlights and lowlights.
My first note is just the word ever fucking nessence, which I thought was quite apt.
You know what, though? That was a huge song at the time, and I'm impressed that they got that. I mean, I know it was Evanescence and nobody fucking heard of them, and that's why they were able to get it, but that was a bit, that was like... They don't do that anymore. They don't have like big songs. Like they used to work with Limp Bizkit, and granted, I know it's Limp Bizkit, but they were a big name back then, and they used to, you know, part license their shit, and now they don't license. Yeah. Now they license a bunch of crap you never heard of.
Yeah.
What's the WrestleMania? I'm looking up. What's the WrestleMania 30 song? I genuinely don't know.
I don't know either.
I know before that though, there was like a couple years straight of Pitbull, I think.
Yeah, for the Miami one, for sure. That
yeah,
was
the
Pitbull.
Miami one was Pitbull.
That's the name.
I know there was the New York one. Wasn't it Puff Daddy? Wasn't there a Puff Daddy one?
That sounds. Oh, this was it. The I'm going home.
I'm going home.
I thought that was quite
not a bad one. Yeah,
that's just Puff Daddy. Yeah.
Let's see here. Okay, my highlight. Okay, number one, the No Way Out 2003.
Yeah.
It was
a
really weird time for the WWE because it was essentially like. Every week it was like a Raw reunion show because everybody was here. Shawn Michaels had come back from his back injury.
Hogan was there.
Hogan was there. Scott Steiner was there, which is my personal highlight. Brock Lesnar. Like, they were still doing Brock Lesnar, or they had started Brock Lesnar. Kurt Angle, those guys were there. Edge and Christian were still there. The Hardys were still there. Chris Jericho had long hair, and he was still doing his thing there. Everybody was there during this weird period of the day. Oddly, the big gold belt.
Was the big belt. Was the
big belt B1 at the time. Yeah. Who was the... I didn't even notice. Who was the... Who was the WWE champion during this one?
Angle.
Oh, it was Angle. That's right. He was okay. That's right. Yeah, it was Angle because he came out in his crew. Benjamin and Haas had like the tag team titles. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. The SmackDown tag.
So titles, there were a million belts. There were a million different like EC to Paul Heyman was there.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. It was a really weird like everything. It was. It reminded me. It was like a It was like a create a character or create a story. Where you just bring in everybody.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So, Dan, what were your thoughts on No Way Out 2003?
It felt like sort of a Hall of Fame of the Attitude Era in many parts of it. It was generally like everyone got a match and some time, and also Scott Steiner was there.
Yes. Fighting for the big belt. What was your what has been your exposure to Scott Steiner to this point, Dan?
That match.
Okay, all right. Had you known about Scott Steiner before this?
He must have come up in the Monday Night Raw stuff.
Oh yeah.
But not much. And
he is terrifying. If you want to see something absolutely hilarious, it's probably my favorite. I would say it's in my top 10 of my own personal favorite YouTube videos. We'll link to it in the description wherever the hell this might be going up. If you Google or if you YouTube search Scott Steiner workout DVD or workout video, there is a brilliant commentary. And usually I'm not huge on like watching or listening to two people comment on something. I'm just not huge. I mean, I know that's what we do, but I don't like listening to it. There are two guys who run down.
Yeah, fuck you guys listen to this shit.
Yeah, exactly. There are two guys who run down Scott Steiner's workout DVD because it's fucking mental. Uh-huh. He literally trains with things you could never get anywhere else. He has like blocks of wood, like heavy, like blocks of wood. He bench presses women and gives
bring over your local woman.
Gives amazing workout advice like, are you hurting? Good. Work through it. It is completely insane that this guy put out like the most dangerous workout video you'll ever see. It's like everything you shouldn't be doing, he's sitting there doing. And then there's just random bits of him like groping half-dressed women.
Okay.
It's brilliant. So Scott Steiner has long been a favorite of ours because Steiner is one of those guys who you can totally tell thinks it's all real. Because like Triple H, my highlight of this was two things. I was sort of like I would turn on the match. Each match, and the great thing about the Xbox One app for the WWE Network is that it has like chapters. So it's like you start the match, and then there's another chapter for the finish of the match, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
And so I was getting to Triple H versus Steiner. I wanted to see the package building up to it. And so I randomly stopped during the most tender moment of that Evanescence song, when it's just the piano and her voice. And the shot that I landed on was Triple H and Steiner literally noses touching each other, like circling each other. And neither of them had an aggressive look on their face. So it just looked like they were about to full on start rubbing dick holes together. I loved it. And then when Triple H comes out, Steiner is already out. Triple H comes out and, you know, Triple H does his ring apron thing. Where he comes out and he does his water bottle spit to the crowd.
Sprays the water.
Well, he gets up there and he leans up against the ropes and Steiner starts to approach him. And it's like, you never do that during somebody's entrance thing. Like, it's your entrance isn't done yet, so you have to let them do their thing. Well, Steiner took offense to Triple H's entrance. And he looked like he was really pissed off that he was up there. I firmly believe Scott Steiner thinks all of wrestling is real.
That could be. The Steiners had a reputation backstage for being legit tough guys, so it could be.
And now his brother, Rick Steiner, sells real estate.
He does still sell real estate.
Yeah.
That's true.
So what were your guys' highlights?
Low light, Scott Steiner. We'll get to that later. The most impressive part of that show was the roster depth, which we spoke about a little bit. The first match was Jericho, who I think a year removed from being Undisputed Champion,
mm-hmm.
or less than that. And then Jeff Hardy, who about 2 years later would be champion, mm-hmm. and they opened the show. It's just crazy.
Yeah. That's a main event show, a main event match right there. That's opening.
But I can't help but thinking while watching that how loaded Jeff Hardy may have been.
Oh yeah, that could be
because he seemed to move slow.
Yeah, well,
he seemed a little out of it.
That was also at the end of a very very intense, or not the end maybe, but that was a very very intense run that he was in the middle of there.
Yeah.
So, Dan, have you ever seen Sting versus Jeff Hardy when Jeff Hardy is absolutely loaded?
No, this sounds interesting.
It was a TNA.
It is seriously one of the most disturbing and hilarious and very, very wrestling things that you'll ever see. Is that I'm sure you can YouTube it again.
Oh, yeah.
Sting versus Jeff Hardy. Just put in Sting versus Jeff Hardy drunk. Uh-huh. And you will see. And Sting, it's TNA. Sting comes out to the ring. I think he's probably champion, maybe. And Jeff Hardy comes out, and he is so far past being hammered that – and Sting – and it is seriously one of those things where Sting, the look of just disappointment – uh-huh. And what's the word? Exacerbation. He's like,
yeah.
It's just his entire body sighs at the sight of Jeff Hardy.
And this is just Hardy walking down from down the ramp toward the ring.
He's not even in the ring yet.
He's not even in the ring yet, but he sees him stumbling down the ramp.
Sting is visibly.
He just wants to put his hands up and say, "What the fuck?"
I think he does. I think his hands literally go in the air. And then they fight, and Jeff Hardy obviously can't move. So
it lasts about 20 seconds.
Sting essentially just says, "Lay down," and then he pins him and walks away.
Yeah.
It is great. Anyways, Dan, what was one of your highlights of the show?
I absolutely loved the insanity of the crowd every single time a stunner was landed.
Oh, yeah. Man.
That was absolutely, because that was like when the Stone Cold came back after quite a little while.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, yeah. So he killed him like he got three stunners on him and then a few more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, because every time he stopped the pin and then would stunner him again. But like every time the crowd just went more and more nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's weird to say because last thing we watched with Stone Cold, he was just silent as he came in. He was just sort of, "And Stone Cold's here as well." It was like, "We don't care. We're here for HBK." Yeah. But this one was like, I've never seen him like this, and it's just nuts.
It was absolutely crazy. And that also sort of speaks to the nature of the pay-per-view. I was sort of speaking on this earlier, is that I had to look up. I was like, wait a second. What happened? Because WrestleMania was right after this. I was like, what happened at that WrestleMania? It was Stone Cold's retirement match against The Rock. And yet there was none of that in this. Like, it was all, like, seemingly, and I didn't look up the rest of the WrestleMania card, but it was all seemingly sort of resolution things or even maybe setting up things, but in a way that seemed conclusive to the pay-per-view.
Because that main event at that WrestleMania following this was Angle and Lesnar, wasn't it?
Oh, that's right. It was Angle Lesnar. Yeah, it wasn't even Stone Cold versus The Rock, which was like sort of kind of a historic match if you think about it, because it was Stone Cold's retirement match. So yeah, you had everything. You had Angle. You had one of my highlights right here is you literally had the two scariest men ever to tag team together in Benoit and Lesnar.
Yes, that was one of my highlights as well.
Yeah, that was, and it's so funny to watch that because, like, especially the finish of the match when Lesnar comes in and just decimates Angle, and he comes in just like a giant running wall. He just comes in, and it's like, God, that man is like, it's like three men in one.
Like, he looks so much tinier than he does now, even though he was
now he's 4 men in one now.
Exactly. He's like two Lesnars into one Lesnar now. He's huge.
Yeah.
And then of course Benoit.
He's like Katamari, that game Katamari. He's just rolling up other Lesnars.
He's just rolling up Lesnars. He's exponential Lesnar now.
Yeah.
He's Katamari Lesnar.
That's good.
Oh man, that's good. Kurt Angle was another highlight for me because I just love when you had, especially his faction, like, you know, Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas were very, very talented guys. And for them to have whatever belts they had, I mean, there were so many belts on this.
Yeah, each show had their own
set of
belts.
To have their own, those belts and then Angle with his, you know, WWE championship, it looks so fucking cool. It was like they come out and they're hot shit and the crowd is so into it. And then, of course,
the sequence with Angle and Benoit where they're reversing from crossface to ankle lock, that was, and it was just bang, 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 so fast.
Those guys had some of the best damn matches. Just some of the best. Those guys, and then Guerrero had some great matches. I mean, that was just a classic time for you know, really enjoying wrestling, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to see what else was here. There was just so much.
Big Show. That was interesting because Big Show genuinely felt like a threat. That's something I've not seen ever.
Yeah.
Really? Exactly. Big Show, like, actually was the place he's going, you can't pick a Big Show. Big Show's a monster. You'll never be able to do anything to him.
Yeah.
And then it kind of had a slight dodgy ending. It just sort of stopped. It's like, he's in this thing, and then it ends. But yeah, no, I like that. I thought that was a. Big Show genuinely felt like a threat. It was the storytelling, in ring storytelling, that thing that we need more of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And although I will say that my favorite version of the Big Show is when he came out smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, there was a brief time during his period in WCW, Dan, when the Giant, back then he was the Giant.
And he was svelte, and he would do drop kicks.
Mm-hmm, yeah, he was the craziest athletic big man you ever see.
Yeah, it was nuts.
But there was one period of time when they simply didn't know what to do with him. I mean, that happened a lot in WCW. They didn't know what the fuck to do with people. Big Show came out, and his angle was he smokes cigarettes and generally doesn't care.
Yeah.
Like, he would come out, he would destroy really small guys, jobbers, and he would smoke cigarettes.
He walked to the ring with the smoke in his hand.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, after he won, I believe he would light up again. Or he'd just get the one, he put the one he was smoking on the announce table and just pick it up when he was done about 45 seconds later.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
His gimmick was office break.
He should have looked at his, like, a fake watch and monitored the 5 minutes he had for a smoke break.
Oh, I got to get back to the counter.
He's a timestamp card, just stamps in as he goes in.
Exactly. He's doing wrestling matches on his... Oh, God, that's ridiculous.
He's corporate Big Show, but you don't know that.
There you go. Customer service Big Show.
And then, of course, there was a Rock versus Hogan, which was...
It's a rematch from the previous WrestleMania.
Yeah, but and this was almost a year later then, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. And Hogan was in his full... I'm watching... I've got it on pause right now on my TV. Rock is about to deliver something devastating to a very bloody Hogan.
Yeah.
It looks like he's struggling to get up. But he's got those boots with his face on them, so he's got that going for him. The Rock was a dick at this point, wasn't he?
He was Hollywood Rock phase, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. That was a good run for The Rock when he was just an asshole.
Cock Rock, yeah.
Yeah. And then he finally put Austin down. Austin finally put The Rock over the next at WrestleMania after this. So that was an interesting time for the WWE. Before we get to NXT, do we want to talk about
lowlights?
Are there lowlights? I didn't write any lowlights down.
Scott Steiner, lowlight.
Yeah, that's right.
Crazy. That's a highlight. Steiner's always a highlight.
No, but there's
Steve
also Russell. That's always a lowlight.
There's also Vince's incredibly creepy chest.
Lowlights.
He is a. Like, he kind of, like, it looks like his head had been, like, surgically attached to someone else's body, like Treehouse of Horror style. Like, that's what but it was like, no, like a giant inflated action man. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Like, one of those weird character things. It's like, like, he's on the cover of, like, Muscle and Fitness or something.
Yeah, I was about to mention that. He's 69 years old, and he looks as
terrifying as
terrifying as ever, yeah. Like, he looks like somebody in a nightmare.
Something Jesse you.
Because,
like, proper nightmare style is like nobody else notices Vince is stalking you, and you're like, oh my god, it's the worst thing, and no one else is giving a shit, but this bizarrely muscular old man is following you.
It's funny because
I don't even want to know what that means.
When he was on the Stone Cold podcast, like, he talks old, and he's got his old man glasses, and he, you know, he sounds like he has a constant chest cold, but then you see him on the cover of Muscle and Fitness, and granted, you know. To a degree, they put all sorts of filters on that, but you know, there's a lot of truth in that picture.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He's a fucking ripped old man.
Yeah,
and like usually when old men get, like, they shrink, but he is bulky. He is still really bulky.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, like every meal is, like, a bucket of creatine or something.
Yeah.
Lesnar just breaks a bit off of himself and hands it over. He's like, master it. Yeah. It gives him absorb someone else. That's a little creepy now. This Lesnar feeds Vince McMahon. Yeah, okay, no, I'm going to agree with that. That's probably what happens. Yeah.
Oh, that's so disturbing. I'm imagining like a cartoon from MTV's Liquid Television back in the day.
Yeah. Like, it was, or it's like that Treehouse of Horror where Snake Smithers eats dead birds.
Exactly.
Even in death, we could be together.
Oh, Lord, that's good. Any other lowlights before we move on to NXT?
I don't like Big Evil Undertaker.
Oh, that was, yeah, my biggest lowlight, I think, was not the fact that it was Big Evil, because that's my personal I'm just going to declare right now. That's my favorite Undertaker.
No, it's awful. it's biker Stone Cold. It's all
no,
it is,
this though. Is what it is. It's Undertaker wish fulfillment. He wants to be an MMA guy. I think he wants to be an MMA guy. He was in his Big Evil persona. He was evidently a submission specialist.
I guess so. He would just wrap his legs around things and they would tap out. So
exactly.
I
was bummed out that at this point there was no more Roland. They didn't. They.
So your low light is not the character. It's the fact that he was coming out
Limp Bizkit. I thought Limp Bizkit was necessary.
I think that's just when the character started, though.
What's that?
That was just when he started coming out as the badass, wasn't it?
Probably.
So it was like 2001 or something like
that? They used it for a while, though. I was surprised when I looked it up how long he was the American badass.
He was for a while.
He was for a while, yeah.
I like how his theme should have the gong in it, though. That was quite nice. I thought he like completely removed like everything that he was, but I like that he kept that little echo of it.
He's like, hey, there's one thing I'm not going to... It's like, yeah, but that's a different persona. I'm going to keep the gong. I like the gong. What badass doesn't like
and the
gong?
The urn. Against? No, not the urn. I want it tied to the bike. Oh, God.
And if I could have
can
those
you make
little...
my bike look like an urn?
That'd be amazing.
I want Paul Bearer to be my
what about a coffin cycle?
It's like the Pope Mobile. It's just got the sheet glass and he's inside the end just driving
down. Yeah, exactly.
Like a fucking golf cart with a giant polystyrene urn over the top of it. That's like what bugged me about Fastlane. I'll mention this quickly. That they faked out with the Undertaker music, but they didn't start with the gong. Like, because they did the, here's some haunty music and here's some druids. So you go, ooh, what's this? It's probably the Undertaker. So you don't get that fantastic high of just hearing gong and everything going dark. Like, the crowd actually may have come alive if they'd done that.
Maybe
it's a very long shot, but they didn't, and that really bugged me. Like, if you've got if you're gonna play his music, just start with the gong. I don't give a shit about druids. Like, if this is a surprise return, gong, okay? Because there's nothing makes anyone shit themselves faster than hearing that gong. That's the point of it.
Yeah,
and just waiting all that time and then hearing it just isn't as good. Yeah. Sorry, true. A tiny point on sound editing there.
That's a fair point. Detail. Speaking of details, Paul Heyman was still there. Again, a really weird period. Taz was on commentary.
Yeah.
And then there
I
was
enjoyed
a second...
Taz's commentary.
Yeah, Taz was good.
He was really excitable.
Taz has always been good. He's always been. And it's a shame. Number one, it's a shame that Taz, his WWE wrestling career was as short as it was.
Mm-hmm.
Although he did have some significant. He never sort of lived up to, I think, what Taz could have been. But he did have some pretty significant roles in the WWE.
Yeah. Well, his first match, he beat Kurt Angle.
He beat Kurt Angle, that's right. And he, I think, wasn't he the first guy to... He went from the WWE, I think, to, like, close out ECW or something. He went to ECW, won the ECW title, and brought it to the WWE. It was really interesting. Like, they did some cool crossover shit there.
It was when he went to WWE and then Mike Awesome was ECW champion.
Yes.
Jump ship to WCW and then they worked something out. So mm-hmm.
That's right. They had a WCW champion fighting a WCW guy fighting a WWE guy in ECW.
For the ECW title.
That's right. It was so weird and awesome that they did that. I love when shit like that happened. It was such a fucking mark. And of course, they do it in front of the ECW crowd, which is the most insane crowd you're ever going to see.
Have you ever seen footage of that? Because it looks like it's in a bingo hall. It's not in the ECW arena.
Oh, that's great. I love that it's in a bingo hall.
While Bingo is going on.
Yeah, while Bingo's going on.
Ladies, it's 22. They just see like people getting their heads smashed in with a basketball bat. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I just need an N. I just need an N. Isn't that how Bingo works? I forget. Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
My God. Sorry, someone just tweeted me something. I'm going to send this to you on the Skype. Just have a quick look at that, and then you'll be able to talk about it. Just seen that. This is something that WWE is now selling that someone just sent to me. They're like, mention this in Going in Raw, so I'm going to.
Oh, man. Where is my page, Standy?
Lana Standy. It's a cardboard Lana.
You know what? It was funny. I was on Twitter last night, and during the episode, we follow WrestleZone, which is probably the best dirt sheet out there right now. And they retweeted somebody that had said, "We love Lana," and it was like a naked Lana lingerie picture because she's done a lot of nude pictures in the past.
Yeah,
and I was like, I get saying, "Hey, I love this person," but there's an element of, you know, you're not really doing them like a lot of respect. By them,
I love this person.
Up there.
Here's their butthole. You know,
right. That's a little weird. You know, it's like, I don't know.
I love it. It says great for parties, special events, and home decor. Oh yeah, it's gonna be gonna be fucking changing rooms or some shit with a Lana standing in the background. We think this accentuates your carpet.
I'm going to suggest this. We have a friend in real estate. I'm going to suggest that he puts this up in his when he stages.
Yeah,
homes.
He should. Yeah, exactly. That's a good idea.
Okay, so wait, where were we? I don't even know what we're talking about.
I think were we done with No Way Out?
Yes, it seems we were going over to NXT now.
NXT. Now we're going in next.
And we have arrived. NXT. It's great. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it is
great. We all know this. Highlights the entire show.
I now watch it every episode of it as well because it's only an hour long. I can afford to spend an hour watching. Mm-hmm. I can't do 3 hours.
Yeah.
There's no way I can fit 3 hours, 25 minutes of which is fucking authority promos into my life. But an hour I can do. I can just about get that in. So, yeah.
Yeah. It goes without mentioning that the Divas, I'm sorry, the thing that I love, number one, the thing that
is
I
that
love.
Is the women's belt.
They refer to it as the women's championship, not the Divas. I love that. I love it so much. Brilliant match. They just let them tell a story in the ring. They were violent with each other. There was no cheekiness. There was no corniness. It was just, and I love Charlotte. I mean, Charlotte, it bugs me when I hear rumors that they don't want Charlotte on Main because of her look. And I don't care necessarily.
No.
I don't care kind of at all about their look. I want to see good stories and good, you know,
good action.
Exactly. There was a whole long period of time that the WWE is sort of coming off of when that's all they cared about was looks. Mm-hmm. And then AJ Lee came along, Paige came along, Emma came along. Emma was really good in NXT. She had good matches. So they're trying to get back into that, and something tells me, let me ask you guys this. I get the feeling that Triple H is just waiting out Vince so that he can on the best shit that you're going to say. I think that the WWE is headed for a really good time. I hate to say this, once Vince either dies or just walks away.
Yeah.
Because I think we've seen that with NXT. That's Triple H's baby. That's what he's putting together. And if that's the sign of things to come, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That being said, I loved the main event.
Yeah.
I loved Kevin Owens destroying Sami Zayn to the point where they just stopped the match because you never see that.
It was like a base hit. It was a TKO.
Exactly. I loved it. That was great.
It was all good.
Wasn't
all good. No, I won't say it was all good. I'm not going to throw endless praise at NXT. It had some problems.
What? Name some lowlights.
I didn't like the Lucha Dragon match. The tag team that was really botch heavy and messy. Yeah. They didn't really pick up a pace.
That's just the Lucha Dragons, though.
They didn't. That match was just like nothing to it. It was like just like it's this thing.
Yeah.
It was roll up, roll up, roll up, roll up, roll up, roll up. It felt like it was at a carnival. Roll up, roll up. See the thing.
Yeah.
Yes, it wasn't the greatest thing. And that's it. That's where I draw the line of things that weren't great.
There's I want to introduce a new segment at this point.
Yeah.
There's a conundrum that I'm facing right now, and his name is Kevin Owens. I looked up Kevin Owens, and I mean, obviously, he has a great career. Him and Sami Zayn have done amazing things. Kevin Owens is 6 feet tall. Mm-hmm. That's how tall I am. Kevin Owens is also about 60 pounds heavier than me, and it's all in the belly.
It's not all in the belly.
No, it's all in the belly. He has a huge belly.
I'm not disagreeing with that, but it's not all in the belly. He's got some muscles.
No, his arms don't look that much bigger than mine. Okay. And if he flexes, no, I'm serious. Look at his arms. They don't look that much bigger than me. And when he flexes, there's not a lot going on.
I know.
I like that he has tailored his thing to be, he's just a stiff, scrappy dude.
Yeah.
But will that translate to the main roster? Because he, like, if he's going to be a kind of, like, my thing is this. If you're going to go to the main roster, there needs to be at least the potential that you're going to be eventually a main event player.
Yeah.
Main event players have to face off against guys like Roman Reigns. Guys like John Cena to a lesser extent now. But guys ultimately like Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Now, I know nobody on Maine even really sizes up against Brock Lesnar, but Roman Reigns might be believable against Brock Lesnar. We all don't like Roman Reigns, but he's got the look so that in the fictional universe of the WWE, I kind of believe that they can face off.
Yeah.
A fat Steve can't face off against Brock Lesnar. That's my problem with Kevin Owens.
Okay.
Is that he's my size, he's not cut, he doesn't have a superhero physique, which in the fictional universe of WWE makes you legitimate. He's just a fat me, and I don't believe him. What do you guys think?
Are we going to come up with alternate angles for him?
I was going to get your thoughts, and then I was going to think of how can we get him to Maine in a believable role?
Oh, okay. That's not the same as come up with a new angle for him. I thought this was going to be like the John Morrison angle of the week.
Well, that's what I was going to make it into because I don't believe there is a believable role that he can go to Maine in. So it's all going to be ridiculousness.
I would use, and granted, he's smaller than Bray Wyatt, but that's the closest analogy I can come up with because Bray Wyatt is by no means a physical specimen.
Yeah.
He like Owens, he's good on the mic. Owens probably isn't up to the same level as Wyatt quite yet. But he's got what I like about Owens is he's got like a really believable, natural cadence and delivery to
he does. He's a good promo guy.
Yeah. His moveset's impactful. His moveset is one of a muscle guy. I mean, like Roman Reigns is supposed to be he was the heavy of the Shield, but really he doesn't have a whole lot of power moves.
That's true.
If you look at it. But Owens does, you know? So I think the moveset's there.
This is the thing. He looks impressive against Sami Zayn.
Yeah, no, I know. He looks impressive against the guys in NXT because most of the guys in NXT aren't.
The entire time I'm watching
Lesnar,
time watching Kevin Owens is I'm thinking of him trying to powerbomb anybody else besides a cruiserweight. And I'm thinking to myself, how is he not throwing out his back? Like, you're carrying that much weight around your stomach. How are you not throwing out your back? I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, angles for him that could work, and all I'm thinking of is he's going to be gimmick. I don't think he is. I think
no, he is going to be. Okay,
you think he's going to be? You honestly think he's going to be gimmick? See, this is the thing.
No, I don't honestly think, but I think it's more fun to talk.
I do too.
If we give him a gimmick,
so let's go around. Larson, what's your gimmick for Kevin Owens?
Okay. See, I kind of like his everyman look.
Okay,
and so I started thinking, okay, he's an everyman. What's a good way to represent that?
Okay.
If we're talking gimmicks, then one of the more you know, I would say everyman jobs is I don't know, like a janitor. there's layers to the character because you know he'll wipe the ring with his opponent,
yes.
And then afterwards he'll come down to the ring with a mop, and whatever you know, blood or sweat's in the ring, he'll clean it up.
Yeah.
And I think the most obvious name for him would be, of course, would be Kevin Clean, playing off his Ring of Honor name.
Because he's not Kevin Steen, he's Kevin Clean.
Kevin Clean. That's the first thing that popped in my head. He should be Kevin Clean, the everyman. He destroys people in the ring, and then he has the courtesy to clean up the ring.
I like that. Dan, do you have any thoughts on Kevin Owens?
Okay, how about, right? And then actually, no. This might be a little dark, but go with me for a few moments.
Okay,
where's a good start? Right. Okay. So he ate his twin in utero. Right.
This is already getting good.
So he believes that he has the power of two wrestlers in one body.
Man, that's good.
But here's the thing. The twin that he ate is evil. He doesn't know it, and the evil personality comes out sometimes. So if he's on his last legs, bit knackered on the floor, going, oh, I'm going to be killed, whatever. Evil twin, yeah. It's like hulking up. Evil twin comes out, gets the look in his eyes. Oh, yeah. Cole can sell that. You know, and then, oh, and then he just kicks the shit out of everyone. And then he's like, oh, he wakes up. Oh, I won. Oh, I must have done something. Oh, and he hasn't realized it yet. Boom. Evil twin. In utero.
And I have his name. His name could be Kevin and Devin Owens.
That's good.
I like it.
Oh, I like good. That a lot. I don't have anything much beyond he carries a gun to the ring, because I think that's the only way.
That's your standby for everything.
Because he could just, you know, and then he'd be Kevin Blowens, because he blows people away with his gun.
Yeah.
Wait, what's Kevin... Kevin Winchester.
I look up there going, oh, he ate his dirty utero, and here's some stuff, and here's that work, and you're like, he's got a gun. You're the sort of person who made the game Shadow of Hedgehog. You know Shadow of the Hedgehog? That's your fault.
I have Shadow of the Hedgehog. We put it on, like, I don't know, some list.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I played that today. That's why it's in my head, like, for the first time ever.
I think my thing is I didn't write down what my original one was when I was thinking about it, like, 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago or something when he first came out. It just bugged me. And then I was like, oh, here's a good idea. And then I was like, I'm going to suggest these to this to the guys. And then when I did it, I suggested it. I just now, when Larson started talking about his angle, I was like, oh, that's right. I never even remembered what mine was. So that's my go-to. Just he brings a gun to the ring. But yeah. Listen, I want you guys to think about this more. And then next week, we'll have more gimmicks for Kevin Owens.
Okay, yeah. Done.
It'll be – the segment's called, instead of Fight Owens Fight – I don't know what's sight
sight
angle Owens angle
gimmick Owens gimmick
yeah
gimmick Owens gimmick.
So, anyways, unless we have anything else to add, I think that's our podcast for the day.
I think so.
That's pretty much. Oh no, I have one more thing.
Yeah,
one more thing I'm gonna add because we didn't talk about it. Adrian Neville versus Finn Balor. That was a fantastic match. I love Finn Balor.
Yeah.
His entrance is just
nuts. I love it. I think it's so flippin' original. I mean, whenever somebody does something, you're like, wow, that's cool. I haven't seen that before. I love that.
Yeah.
That's great.
His
music is fantastic, and he knows how to go to the beat or to the marks, you know?
That is something that's been practiced many, many times.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Oh, yeah. I'm just not sold on his spaghetti hair wig.
Oh, I love the wig, man.
That's the only thing that kind
what,
of bothers
what
me.
What do you think would be a suitable, like, if you had to do a wig, what would be a suitable wig?
Why would you have to do a wig?
No, I'm saying, look, you don't have to. I'm saying if they said, look, we love him and we know that you don't like the wig, but he has to have a wig.
He has to have something on his head.
He has to have something on his head. What would it be?
Super Saiyan 3 Goku. You know, a bunch of banana hair all the way down as far as it goes. That would be amazing.
I like cowboy hat.
Cowboy hat.
Because it looks...
What about a stove pipe hat?
Yeah,
like Abe Lincoln used to have?
Yeah, that's good. I like that too.
That's good. Or like a clown wig?
Yeah, I was thinking to like a clown afro or like an afro.
But like the one with the bald horseshoe pattern?
Like a Jerry.
So you got hair around the outside, but you know it's bald on top.
You know what would actually work really well? A Jerry curl. That would be rad.
Oh my God. What's his gimmick going to be when he hits, when he gets up to Raw?
I really hope he doesn't
have
one.
Is he Irish?
I hope it's just...
He's going to be just Shane O'Irish, isn't he? It's like, Shane O'Irish from Ireland.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
That's what it's going to be.
He does the exact same entrance, just dressed up like a fucking leprechaun or some shit.
Oh Lord. Lordy B.
We have such faith in this company.
I know.
Like, I think Triple H is going to be like, look, okay, I'll pay you guys main roster money. Just stay in NXT until the old man dies, and then you'll all be main event in WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then
including
we'll
be... Kevin Clean,
Kevin Blowens,
Kevin and Devin Owens,
Kevin and Devin Owens. Oh God! Man. All right. That's our podcast for the day.
Yeah.
So we should now do a book of the match. We should do a thing.
Yeah.
Make it for that edit.
We totally ended the podcast without doing a new book of the match. So that's some kayfabe for you.
So, yeah.
So anyways, Larson had the idea to submit to give it to you guys and let the fans, the viewers, listeners, whatever, go ahead and decide out of these three options. ECW One Night Stand.
Dun, dun.
WrestleMania X7.
Dun, dun.
Both those have been suggested by fans already.
Yes.
So that's why.
And then you suggested also a WCW one, which would be Starrcade 97,
yeah.
Which is a good example because it's Sting in his persona that we know him now in the WWE, wrestling Hogan for the title, and a Mr. Bret Hart shows up.
Yep.
Ooh.
So those will that I kind of maybe pulling for that one or ECW. I think
I'm most definitely pulling for Starrcade because we have yet to introduce Dan to the weird world of WCW.
I know. That's kind of the reason why. Like, ECW would be weird because there was a weird mix of WWE guys and then ECW guys. So that'd be kind of interesting. But WCW Starrcade would be like an entirely foreign experience to Dan, save for a couple things here and there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, he saw all the Monday Night Wars, so... it won't be that much, but you'll get a dash. I mean, I think Starrcade is actually that is my WrestleMania 29 that for Dan, because that was the first wrestling pay-per-view that I watched, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. We watched it at Nate's house, didn't we?
No, I think that was the following year. The following year is when DDP won the belt.
Oh, okay. I thought we watched it at Nate's house.
I don't think it was 97. Probably watched it at my parents' house.
That could be as well. I forgot. I just remember. I thought it was an eight. Maybe that was.
Here, hold on, because I know we did watch one there, but I was pretty sure that's.
Do you have a note of that? Why are you saying hold on?
You think I've been taking notes? He has notes of everything you've ever watched.
Yeah,
in his life.
I've created my own wrestling almanac.
Don't go back in time.
I know. I'll rebook everything.
So I'm just assuming we're gonna have them all tweet at us what they want, and then we'll just sort of do it. If there's one overwhelming one, it'll be obvious. Otherwise, we'll do like a mathematical thing.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, good enough. All right, well, there's your options for Book of the Match: ECW One Night Stand, Starrcade 97, or WrestleMania Woo. X7, which apparently Woo. Nobody wants.
I vote for that one. That's my choice because.
You have to be the dissenter. You have to be the dissenter. All right, well, there you goodbye again, I guess.
There you goodbye.
Yes. All right.
See you later.
Don't come back. Apart from next month.